The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.
To kind of direct my life and get all the things in place, but I'm supposed to go to God first and then He will guide me. And I said, well, I've tried everything, I'll try this.
We so often downplay this as if it's something unimportant to have word and sacrament in the church, as if receiving this gospel is sort of just something we do here. No, it is who we are, and it's what makes us the church.
It's cruel and unusual punishment to give the death penalty to a rapist. They don't deserve the death penalty. And I don't think that an innocent child conceived in rape deserves the death penalty either.
We vent instead of having real conversations. Whether it's in person and on Facebook, wherever the conversation is, we need to go back and reinvestigate what it means to really talk with other people.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. It's a Friday game we like to play at the end of the program, at the end of the week, as often as we can, where we assemble four soundbites from our Issues Etc. audio. We play them for you, and then after you've listened, you, our listeners, get to pick which one is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You do so by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or voting at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can vote in advance, or you can wait about 20 minutes and play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. A chance also to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. That's about 20 minutes from now. He goes by several names. He appears early and then more or less disappears in the Gospels and the New Testament. But his story of his martyrdom is one to be remembered, one that has been remembered. And the church is remembering Bartholomew the Apostle on this Friday afternoon, the 24th of August. So will we here on Issues Etc. Joining us to do so, Pastor Burnell Eckert. He's a pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewanee, Illinois, and he's editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Burnell, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
How or by what other names might we know Bartholomew in the New Testament Gospels?
Well, that's a good question, because Bartholomew actually does not appear by name in the first three Gospels. And if we look in the fourth Gospel, he does appear only in the first three Gospels. And if we look in the fourth Gospel, he does not appear. And instead, you have Nathanael. And so it is pretty unanimously thought by scholars that Bartholomew and Nathanael are the same person. And the name Bartholomew, if you take it apart, is actually Bar-Ptolemy, which means the son of Ptolemy. So you can kind of look at Bartholomew as we might look at a last name. So Nathanael is his given name, and he's called Bartholomew in the first three Gospels.
So where do we first find him in the New Testament? Talk about what we know of him.
Well, he was called, and this is under the name Nathanael, in the first chapter of John's Gospel. He was called by Jesus, and there's this sort of enigmatic exchange when, first of all, Philip goes to him and says, "We have found the one of whom Moses spoke in the law, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael, that is Bartholomew, says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." And then Jesus sees Nathanael coming to him, and he says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael's bewildered. He says, "How do you know this? How do you know me?" And he says, and here's this mysterious saying that hardly anybody can really understand, or perhaps nobody, He says, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And then suddenly Nathanael, that is Bartholomew, answers and says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, well, are you you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. You will see angels, the angel, heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So that's his call.
That's an account, I mean, if we could pause briefly on that, that's full of kind of ambiguity as to who means what. When Jesus refers to Nathanael here, Bartholomew, as an Israelite in whom there is no guile, what do you think he's saying? What's the best understanding of that?
Well, in fact, we celebrated this day last night, and my musing on it is that his having no guile is sort of in the sense of the many of the patriarchs having no guile. It's not that they are without sin. It's rather that they have this faith in the coming one. The way I look at Nathanael's first words to Philip, when he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth, is I think those words are instructive, because it means, at least it seems to me, that it means Philip knows that if Jesus is the Messiah, then it can't be that he comes from Nazareth, because Nathanael knows that the Messiah must come from Judah, must come from the city of David, Bethlehem. So he doesn't yet know this about Jesus. And so in saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth, I don't think it's a slam so much against Nazareth, although it might be partly that. I think more importantly, it's an indication that he knows a lot in his expectations about what the requirements and stipulations are for someone to be the Messiah. And Jesus, of course, recognizes this in him.
What do you make of his confession? Because, boy, Bernal, this is awfully early in the Gospels for someone to be claiming to be recognizing Jesus as the Son of God.
I think that his confession is sort of an underscoring of what Jesus knows about him in the first place. An Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You know, the whole question of who is an Israelite is raised continually in the Gospels. And what Jesus is doing here is setting it out very clearly, and the evangelist in putting this in his first chapter too, that a true Israelite is not someone who is a blood relative of Abraham, but someone who recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. So he, in making this confession immediately, underscores Jesus' awareness of what it is that constitutes a true Israelite. And, of course, the same is true today. A true Israelite is not a descendant of Abraham, but someone who has the faith of Abraham, as St. Paul also says.
So is there anything else that we know about Bartholomew / Nathanael other than getting listed among the 12 apostles?
Well, we know hardly anything about him in terms of the actual history following the New Testament, but there are some traditions that I like to speak of. He is said to have gone and preached in various regions. He went out and preached in I think Ethiopia and some other areas, a place called Western India, and he ended up, tradition tells us, in Armenia, where the king of Armenia had a daughter. Polymius was his name, and he evidently had a daughter who was a sick or demon-possessed. And Bartholomew was a miracle worker as one of the apostles, and he healed the king's daughter, the tradition goes. And so, therefore, the king was converted, and the inhabitants of these 12 cities that were around the king's area, and they were all baptized and became Christians, and the priests were thrown out, the priests of the false gods, and they were unhappy about that. And so they got together with the king's brother and arranged to have Bartholomew arrested, and this was after 26 years of his ministry, arrested and murdered. He was beaten, and he was flayed alive and beheaded, and this was how he was martyred. So, you know, to this day, the way and the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of St. Bartholomew's Day, as we observe the death or the martyrdom of this saint, is that no one suffered more. And for this, he is accorded high honor among the ranks of the saints of the church. At least that's the way I look at it.
That legend is kind of memorialized in the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, a very famous depiction of Nathaniel slash Bartholomew there holding a knife and his own skin, kind of displaying the signs of his martyrdom. Why do you think that even these grotesque images in the church's art serve to say something of the faith of the people who would suffer thus?
I think that these kinds of things, and you can put together with them, of course, the most important and famous of them all, namely the cross of our Lord Jesus, these are ways of in which the church has said from its earliest days that our victory is found in the cross, that the as the hymn writer puts it, hell's darkest powers have done their worst, and Jesus hath his foes dispersed. The death of Jesus and the deaths of the martyrs are not marks of defeat, but in the faith and in the eye of the church, they are victory. You know, the martyrdoms of the early saints serve to this day as glimmering testimonies to the reality that they knew. Their confessions are sealed by their martyrdom. It is, and this is, of course, the word martyria, as I'm sure you know, means both confession and martyrdom. So it's a confession unto death. It is a shedding of blood for the sake of the confession you make. You are that convinced that you're right about this, that you're willing to die.
Pastor Burnell Eckhart is our guest. We're talking about Bartholomew the Apostle, also known as Nathaniel, on this Friday afternoon, August the 24th. When we come back a few more minutes with him, we'll find out what it means that Bartholomew Nathaniel is the first among the disciples, at least, to acknowledge in some form the divinity of Jesus. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio Mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A fake compromise over health care mandates doesn't satisfy opponents. This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After the public outcry and slew of lawsuits, most of them still moving forward, the Obama administration has altered the health care mandate. Now it will force insurance companies rather than employers to pay for the birth control and abortion-inducing drugs many faith-based employers oppose. This is not a real compromise, though, but rather an accounting trick that shifts the imposed burden onto different shoulders. The fact remains that all employers will have to pay for chemical abortions, sterilizations, and contraception for any employee.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
That's what's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. The beautiful and familiar words of Psalm 136, "O give thanks unto the Lord," sung by the choir of St. Thomas. At LutheranPublicRadio.org, when Issues Etc. goes off the air, Lutheran Public Radio is still on the air with sacred music for the world 24/7, 365 days a year following the church year. LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking with Pastor Burnell Eckert about Bartholomew the Apostle, also known as Nathanael. Pastor Eckert, he is, what does it mean that he is among the first, or if in fact the first disciple, at least in nascent form, to recognize the divinity of Christ?
I think that what this story and stories like this serves to do is to point out the reality of this unspeakable mystery and miracle of the incarnation of our Lord, that God himself has come to us, has joined himself to our flesh, and in our flesh has redeemed us from death and the devil. This is not just some pious God talk that is the stuff of make-believe. It is reality. It's something that actually happened, that broke into our time, into our history. And so you have these martyrs, people like Bartholomew, who testify by their martyrdom of the truth, of the historical truth and reality of Jesus and his death and resurrection. And that that says more than 1,000 words.
How do we best remember him as a church? You mentioned your congregation observing this last night, but how does the church best remember not only Bartholomew, the apostles, but whenever we remember the saints?
Well, we remember first the words of in the Gospel of in the Revelation to St. John, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, and their works follow them." So we use their stories, their what we know about them as examples for us to follow in our faith, that we then seek to have the kind of Jesus calls no guile that Bartholomew had. That is, this faith, which isn't based on what people normally think a lack of guile is. It's not just a doing of good or gaining or earning some merits. It's rather cleaving to Jesus and following him, even if that means death. That to me is a great encouragement to Christians.
Burnell, before we let you go, you are editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, and I understand that Gottesdienst has its one of its annual events coming up here pretty soon. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes, thank you. Oktoberfest is an annual event that takes place over the weekend of Columbus Day, usually the first weekend in October. And this year is a very special one because it's our congregation's 150th anniversary. It's our sesquicentennial. So we're having all kinds of exciting things. We're having, as our featured seminar speaker on Monday the 8th, Dr. Lawrence Rass, the president of the Fort Wayne Seminary. We're having to preach at our Monday morning service, Pastor Mark Miller, the newly elected president of Central Illinois District. So if people want more information about that, I would encourage them to go to liturgyseminar.blogspot.com, and there it will give information for how to register if you want to come.
Folks, you can find out more about Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, and their annual Oktoberfest, also the sesquicentennial of the congregation there in Kewaunee, Illinois, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Burnell Eckert is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewaunee, Illinois, and editor-in-chief of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. Pastor Eckert, thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.